All right, so thanks for joining us once again. I'm looking at an empty worship area, not a sanctuary, a worship area. Sanctuary is holy place. Wherever God is a holy place. But this is where we come together. It's just a building, but it's a nice one. It's where we gather, where we congregate as a Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm missing you today, Layman Fam. We're missing you today. It just don't look right. But I hope that where you are, you've already worshiped with Nick. I really appreciate him being willing to come and serve in that way. Miss our worship band. Those guys are amazing. In an empty worship area, looking for my fam, wondering if the zombie apocalypse is on us. We miss you and we love you. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll jump in the Word. Father, in this moment, right where we are, around a computer, a phone, maybe on the big screen, oh my goodness, Lord, wherever we are, give us peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind. May we seek you and find peace. Your word says that if we seek you and we search for you with all of our hearts, that you will give us peace because we trust in you. Father, minister to our hearts through your word. Let us know that if we're cavalier and thinking nothing's going on, that we're misguided. There are things to be concerned about. We should listen to our leaders. But also, Lord, if we are in fear, if we are anxious and worried, minister to our hearts because you have not left the throne. You are still God. You know what you're doing. And even what you have allowed, you can turn to good. And we trust you, God, as the God who redeems all things for his glory and our ultimate good. Father, bless my friends who are sick right now or hurting, who are have friends who are sick, who are going through troubles right now, financial, and they're worried. Bless my friends, Father, who are they dealing with loss of jobs, or they're dealing with, they've got immunity problems. Father, cover them and watch over them. Speak to us today through your word. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. In Christ's name, amen. So we're going to be in Matthew 6. We're going to be talking about God who is a provider. And so if you have a Bible, feel free to open it up to Matthew 6. I use the ESV version this time around, way back when it used to be the NIV. But just open it up to ESV or open it up to Matthew 6 and we'll get there. So let me help you out. I've been married for 30 years, be 31, Lord willing, if Dolores doesn't turn into a zombie and eat me, eat my brains, which means it'll be a very light meal. In Matthew 6, Jesus is going to talk about provision. So I just thought I'd start off by letting you know, because some of you guys, you got girlfriends, you got wives, I want to help you out. If your wife is ever really upset, if your girlfriend is ever really, I mean, she is stressed and upset and angry, here, I want to give you two words that'll help her. It'll solve the situation. Just trust me in this. All you need to do is look at her and in a quiet but firm voice say, calm down. That's all you got to do. It'll work. And if you want a little extra help, just trust me. I've been married 30 years. I'm still alive. And so the next thing you want to do is if she's still kind of upset, hand her a knife, because then her female instincts are going to kick in. She's going to make you a sandwich. What could go wrong? By the way, that is not our household. I promise you. My wife is amazing and incredible. I do dishes sometimes. I do my own laundry. So all those stereotypes don't play in. So if you're rabidly upset with me right now, well, good, I've done something today. Calm down. Yeah, that's just like when you're really worried or upset and somebody says, don't worry, it'll be okay. How does that help? Like if you're really worried, you're concerned because jobs are disappearing and you got bills to pay and you got a mortgage and you're trying to figure out how do I make it through this, saying don't worry means nothing. That's like looking at a car that broke down and said, run. It doesn't work. In fact, as somebody who has dealt with insomnia, and please, oh goodness, please don't send me your cures for insomnia. I've heard them all. But as somebody who deals with insomnia, every now and then somebody will send me a message and say, you need to take care of that because insomnia causes this and this and heart trouble and brain trouble. And dude, now I'm laying awake thinking about all the problems insomnia causes. That did not help. It's the same thing with worry. Don't worry. That doesn't help whatsoever. Now I'm worried about the fact that I'm worried. It's a lack of fear or lack of faith. Great. Do you think Jesus knew that people would worry a lot? Do you think he knew that some folks would just say, don't worry, and act like it was going to be helpful? There's a whole chapter in the Bible, Matthew 6, dedicated, dedicated to talking about worry and who our provision is. And so we get to talk about the one who supplies our needs. We get to talk about that today. So let me give you the context. There were men, rabbis specifically, and others who made their money through benefactors. They would think, hey, these guys are so spiritual because they would do outward spiritual acts that benefactors would come along and support them and give them money. If you remember, the way Jesus and his disciples lived is they had people giving to them. But Jesus did it very differently. These guys, these rabbis and these religious leaders would do outward physical or outward spiritual acts so that people would see them, and then in seeing them would say, hey, we want to support you. In fact, the rabbis would do it in such a way that benefactors would come along, rich men, and give them money and say, now please take my son as your disciple. And that gives you the context of what we talk about today. More spiritual acts, more money. That's the way it worked. And more approval from people, which always feels good. So that's the context of the beginning of Matthew 6. And so let's take a look at it. Matthew 6, we're going to do the whole chapter starting at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And so the question is, who supplies my needs? Is it God and he takes care of me, or is it people? And maybe my need is, I just need approval from others. Do I seek it in other people, or do I say my approval comes from God? Maybe it's money, and I'm saying, well, I need those people to support me, or I'm not going to eat. Or it's, God, I trust you, and I'm just going to do what's right and trust that you'll meet my needs. That's the question, and that's the tension we see in Matthew 6. And God says, I see you, and I recompense, I reward. Beware of practicing your righteousness. And then he's going to give three specific types of righteousness, helping others or giving alms, praying and fasting. And so let's talk it through. By the way, before we even get there, knowing who provides for you kills. Knowing who provides for you absolutely does away with, destroys, demolishes, blows up. Doing fakeness for show. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, let me pray for you. Hey, let me take a picture of me helping you, homeless guy. It just kills that. If you know that God provides for you, and you don't need the approval of others, you don't need the money of others, it kills it. Kills needing from others. And this is important. A friend of mine taught me this. He had been an elder at a church here in town that was spiritually abusive. But he taught me this principle. When you need something from someone, they can manipulate you because you need something from them. But if you don't need anything from them, there's no way they can manipulate you because there's nothing you need. It sets you free from that. Understanding who provides your needs kills being overcome by worry. Because he's either God and he's on the throne or he's not. Let's talk it through. The three types of righteousness that are being practiced before others. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised for by others. So again, when you help the homeless guy and you take the food, don't take the Instagram selfie. You don't need the praise of men and women. And I know our hearts, because we'll say, well, I just want to encourage others to do it. No, bro. If you wanted to do that, you would just say, help them. You want to be in that pick. You want to be a part. You want your group, your posse to be in that pick because you want the approval of others, looking for the praise of men and women. It says right there, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. That's a purpose statement. Remember, church, we always look for purpose statements. That they may be praised by others. It's a wrong motivation. When you do it because you love Jesus and because he's called you to it. And if no one knows, Jesus does. Let's go a little further. Jesus says, these are all the words of Jesus. Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. They got what they came for because they got the praise of men. They got benefactors. And what that means is they have forfeited what God would have given to them. Trusting men to supply what ought to come from God. If we're doing that, God says, okay, let them supply, no problem. They can supply it. See how that goes for you. That they may be praised by others. Scripture says that our praise ought to come from God. And I know that sounds weird to you that God would praise us. But it actually says our praise. Romans 2:29, the one who loves Jesus. And the context is circumcised in heart. In other words, he knows Jesus. The Spirit has made him alive. It says his praise is not from man, but from God. We're to be God pleasers, not men pleasers. Why? Because God supplies. Because man supplies what feels good. God supplies what satisfies. And there's a difference. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret. And so I need to interpret this just a bit. Here's what it means. There was the idea that the left hand was for alms, for giving charity, and the right hand was for exercising authority. And what some of the folks would do back then is they would actually give to the needy. They would trumpet before others so they're getting a benefit from it, getting praise, maybe getting money. And then they would turn around and with their right hand say, I gave to you. So they would exercise authority over the person they gave to and say, you now need to sing my praises. When you give, don't look for a benefit. That's what that means. Don't let your left hand, the giving of charity and alms, let your right hand, which would exercise authority over a person you gave to, know what you're doing. Oh, that cuts at the heart of who we are, doesn't it? If I help somebody, they need to act a certain way. No, they don't. You either give because God said give or you don't give. You don't get authority over them for it. And your father who sees in secret... Your father who sees what you did, you didn't take the Instagram, you didn't go around telling people, hey, this weekend I went out and helped a bunch of homeless, fed them. No, 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 your father who sees in secret, no one else knows, your father who sees in secret will reward you. God will supply and it will satisfy. The word for reward is apodidomi, and it literally means that which you already have in Christ, and he says that you will get it if you're not seeking the approval of men. And when you pray, so there's giving, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Did you catch that? That's a purpose statement again, that they may be seen. They're not talking to God, they're just looking good for people in the synagogues. Does that mean that we don't pray in churches today? Well, there is a problem. If you say, hey, Brian, would you pray before, or Brian, would you, or if you say to somebody in the congregation, would you pray before we get, before we take an offering? Would you pray before the preaching? Would you, if we're doing it long prayers for the amens of the people, we've missed the point of the prayer. What's wrong with praying in churches today? Nothing. What was wrong with praying in the synagogues? Nothing. But the motivation that they may be seen by others. That's the problem. And these guys would pray these long prayers loudly, and everybody would be, yeah, yeah. And then they would get the praise of men, and they would get followers, benefactors who would give them money. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, they've received their reward. They've gotten what they came for. When it comes to what God supplies, and listen, this is important, church. When it comes to what God supplies, what I seek in people, I forfeit from God. Let me say it again. When it comes to what God supplies, what I seek in people, I forfeit from God. Truly, I say to you, they got what they're going to get. They're not going to get anything else. Oh, man, those are strong words. When it comes to what God supplies, what I seek in them, I forfeit it from him. Put it another way. When I seek my God for my provision, I'm set free from trusting people for my praise, my approval, my money. And yes, I mean my money. Now, God can supply through my job. He can supply through others. Absolutely. But never make the mistake of thinking that that's your supply. Your supply is your supply. You've had probably more than one job. All of them pay you. God is the ultimate supply. So you don't trust men for your supply. And that sets you free. But when you pray, don't trumpet it, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He doesn't say you're never allowed to pray in public. In fact, Jesus did it, so he'd be sinning. He's not saying that. What he's saying is when you do it, and when you do it as it's just an act of worship, and you do it regularly as a discipline to speak to your God, you don't need to do it in front of others. Somebody used to say, and I agree with him, those who pray the longest prayers in public do so because they haven't been praying in private. Yeah, but nobody will know that I prayed and it was a beautiful noise. God will. And that's all that matters. And it says here that he will reward you. Apodidomi, you will get what Christ died to give you. It's already yours and his anyway. You'll forfeit if you try to get it from men. There's a reward for praying, for giving, for following Jesus. And it's yours when you do it with the right motivation. And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. By the way, just real quickly, if you're called to pray before the Sunday meal and everybody's been at church and man, they're hungry, don't pray 5 minutes, because just so you know, I'm praying against you. like, God, break their teeth off in their mouth, I'm ready to eat. Just don't do that. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. So God knows what you need. He supplies, and he says, so pray this way, and you'll know this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you start with who he is, his character and nature, because he is a provider, he is God, he is holy, and we pray for his kingdom to come. Because if you don't know his character or nature, how can you trust his provision? Give us this day our daily bread. Now watch this. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Give us this day our daily bread. Not next week, not next month, not if the coronavirus hits here, not if they shut down my husband's job. No. Give me what I need today. Because when I get to tomorrow, you're already there and you've got that. In the Old Testament, as they were in the wilderness, God's people, there was manna and it would fall for the day. And if you tried to store it up, the next day it'd be like worms and maggots. You ate that day and trusted that the God who fed you that day would feed you the next day. That's the same thing. God, I'm trusting you for what you give me that I need today. And then it says, forgive my debts. And in the context of God, I'm trusting you to meet my needs. I'm saying forgive my debts. Why is that? Because a debt would need to be cleared before anything else was given to me. Whoa. A debt would need to be cleared before anything else was given to me. God, forgive me. And God says, fine, it's contingent upon you forgiving others. Wait, contingent? What? Why? Because if I, the Lord of the universe, who is perfect and holy, if I'm going to forgive you of all the stuff you've done, including just within the past day that you prayed, who are you to hold something against someone else? God says, I'll forgive you if you forget of others. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, as we also have to the same degree in the same way. Let me say it, and I say it every time we talk about this stuff. If you haven't forgiven others, you're standing unforgiven. Oh, your relationship is there. Your fellowship is cut. And there are Christians who have been dry for years because they've been unwilling to forgive. And it's not a one-time thing. People who've hurt me deeply, it's every time I think of them, God, I forgive. God, I release. And he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, lead us away from the evil one. For if you forgive your others their trespasses, and this is the end of it, for if you forgive your forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Did you catch the if in there? That's a conditional. And then he says this, and these are words that cause me to shudder. Jesus says, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, what they've done against you and yours, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It is contingent. Let me say it again. God supplies forgiveness. He is the provider. He supplies forgiveness. And he makes it contingent upon your willingness to forgive. And if you say, yeah, but you don't know what they've done to me. And my goodness, I've suffered. So I get you. I understand. I do. I walk with the same brokenness. I understand. Here's the thing. If we say God is the provider and he supplies, he'll also supply the ability to forgive those who've hurt you. Did you catch that? I can't forgive. No, but God can through you. It's not the emotion. It's the act of just releasing and saying, God, you deal with them. I can't. Jesus now goes, he's talked through giving, he's talked through praying. He now goes to fasting. And when you fast, and I know you want to go like, dude, that ain't going to happen. Golden Corral down the street. Taco Bell's still open right now. When you fast, when you go without, don't post it on Facebook with a, I'm going to hit it. Don't post it on Facebook with a big charcoal cross on your forehead. Ooh, a little too close to the truth. When you fast, when you go without, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Here's what, again, that they may be seen, purpose statement. Here's what they would do. They would fast, some of the Pharisees, like twice a week. And they'd sink in their chin, their cheeks. And they would get their hair all messed up. And people knew they were fasting. You fasting today? Oh, yeah, man, it's hard, but I love God. I'm serving. Don't do that, he says. Truly I say to you, he says again, they have received their reward. Now, the word he uses here is different than the word that he uses for God will reward you. In all of these, the word that he uses here is, they got what they earned. The word he uses when he says God will reward you is apodidomi, which means it's already yours in Christ. When it comes to what God supplies, what we seek in men, we forfeit in Christ. What we seek in Christ, we don't have to seek in men. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others. But then who's going to know? Why am I fasting? I'm wasting my time. No, you're seeking God, which is the purpose anyway. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Nobody's going to know. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. If a Christian takes care of somebody homeless and nobody knows, did he really take care of them? Yes, because God saw. And you live before an audience of one. Absolutely. He will reward you, not what you earned, what you already have in Christ because of the cross. God is your provider. He supplies. He goes on. I'm going to run through this fairly quickly. We're doing a whole chapter. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. God says, don't make yourself your own supply. Don't let others be your supply, but now don't make yourself, I'm so smart, I'm going to lay up, I'm going to have money here and there. That's my treasure. God says, don't trust it, it's not secure. Don't make that your treasure. That stock market can fall in half on something no one saw coming, and you can't control it. Don't make that your treasure. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. So it's about who you trust as your supply. It's not about how much you give. That's not the point of this passage. It's about where do you put your trust? Do I really believe that God is my provider and that he'll meet my needs? Or do I think I have to? It's not wrong to have money in the bank. Just don't make that your trust. As a matter of fact, Proverbs would talk about storing up for the winter. For where your treasure is, that's what I trust, there your heart will be also. And it is idolatry. It is idolatry to trust something other than God for my supply. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. It has to do with what you focus on, your heart desires. But if your eye is bad, if your eye is evil, if your eye is dark, they used to talk about that in those days, in that age. And it would have to do with envy and covetousness so much so that when you looked at everyone, all you saw is what you could get from them. If your eye is dark, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. I figure Jesus knows what he's talking about. If you make your life about money, you're not serving God. Oh, let me say it again. If you make your life about I treasure and I have and I've got, or I need and they have and I want, then you're not serving God. Man, there are whole political I'll be careful here, but there are folks right now that have made their whole candidacies about you need to get it from them because they have more than you. If you buy into that, Christian, I don't care whether they're Republican or Democrat, it's probably on both sides. If you buy into that, your covetousness precedes you and you need to repent. No one can serve two masters. And then after all of this, we get to the part that I've been looking forward to. Jesus says, after all of this, God supplies. Don't worry about trying to impress men. Do it in secret. God supplies. God is your provider all the way through. And then he says this, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what kind of toilet paper you're going to buy, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Therefore, don't be anxious. Some versions will say, don't worry, same thing. Yeah, but COVID. Yeah, but jobs. Yeah, but hoarders and supplies and... Is God your supply? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Jesus is talking to people who, within a generation after he goes to the cross, will face persecution. The temple will be torn down. They're going to run. They're going to flee from Jerusalem. They're going to have to run for their lives. Don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. about your body, what you're going to put on, and that doesn't translate well for us. But in that day and that age, they didn't have a Walmart on every corner. They had to go a couple of miles for a Walmart, and they didn't have clothes where you can go look and buy a shirt for $5. They didn't have that. They had one, maybe two sets of clothes. You ain't got clothes, you ain't going out in public. That was a problem, so they worried about that. God will supply what you need. And when the fallen world deprives you, and we know in our world there are people who don't have and they love God, God will supply grace to make it through till he brings you home. Either way, anxiety don't help, does it? There's nothing I've ever worried about that has helped me solve a problem. Nothing I've ever been anxious about that has ever helped me or been beneficial in my life in any way, mean, shape, or form. Most of the things that I've worried about and been anxious about haven't come to be. They haven't come to pass. It's not life more than food. It's the body more than clothing. God will provide the air in your lungs. He can provide your food. He can provide your clothing. Then Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store or gather into barns. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. He meets their needs. And you have much more value. You alone, out of all of the animal kingdom, you alone are made in the image of God. He cares for you. Jesus did not send his son to die for birds. He did not send his son to die for lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. He sent his son to die for you. You have much more value. God is a source. Even nature is set up by God in such a way that it is taken care of. And you're much more important than nature. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Let me say it again. Worry has never solved anything. All worry does is borrow from a possible, terrible, bad tomorrow and bring it into today so that I can enjoy today. It robs me of the time I have. Tomorrow may not even come for me. I seriously wonder how many people have gotten in car wrecks and died, or something bad has happened and they've died, and they spent their final hours worrying about a conflict coming up, or how to pay their bills, or what a waste of time. Worry changes nothing. Anxiety changes nothing. And please, let me make sure we understand. I'm not talking about clinical anxiety where you need some help. I'm talking about the standard worry and anxiety that you and I feel living in this world. Jesus goes on. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Now again, their fear of one set of clothes. Something happens to them, mildew gets them, they get torn, whatever. They can't afford more. They don't have the materials to. For us, our fear is empty Kroger shelves right now. Oh my God, I've got to get everything I can because everybody else is and I might run out. I didn't want to do it. I'm just going to tell you, you can probably live without toilet paper for a while. Just telling you. I'm not shaking your hand, but I'm just telling you, you'd probably be all right. Therefore, don't be anxious saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What shall we wear? This is closer to where we are. Where am I going to work? Where am I going to live? Somebody said this, and I had been telling my wife this for a while. This virus thing is like this huge tsunami, except that it's very slowly coming, right? And it's just slow. And we're waiting and we're looking at, am I going to get sick? I'm 56. What's going to happen? What if? Oh, God, what happens if I get sick? What happens if it's my dad? What happens if it's somebody I know? How many funerals am I going to have to do? And God says, don't be anxious. It may or may not come, but you're not an orphan. You have a daddy in heaven who's got you. Let me show you this. For the Gentiles, those who at that time did not know Jesus, did not know God, the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. They act like orphans because they don't have a daddy in heaven who knows them and has them and has promised to take care of them. You do, and he knows your needs. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So God supplies. We seek his kingdom, and his kingdom is his ways. Here's what I mean by seek his kingdom and his righteousness. To seek his kingdom is, Lord, it's all yours. Where do you want me to give? Who do you want me to help? What would you have me do with the time I have today? Oh, definitely a Netflix binge. Now, maybe not all day. What would you have me do with the time I have today, Lord? Should I do some prayer? Should I maybe spend some time in your word? I'm not legalistic. I'm just saying, good idea. Seek his kingdom in his ways. Lord, would you have me be generous? No, I've got a hoard. No. God, it's all yours. Would you have me be generous? His kingdom. Who can I pray with? Who can I pray for? How can I care? Who can I be there for? How can I serve? That's his kingdom. And it means you have to let loose of your worry and anxiety if you're really going to help others. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. His righteousness, not that of men and women saying, oh, you're so holy, you're so good. His righteousness, his rewards, not theirs. That which you already have because Christ has died on the cross for you. Seek after that as you follow God, as you pray and you don't make it public, as you give and you don't tell others, as you spend time with them and maybe do without some things, and nobody else has to know. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When it comes to what God says he will supply, what I seek in men, I forfeit in Christ. When it comes to what God says he will supply, what I seek in others, I forfeit in Christ, and I would have already had that. What I seek in God alone is my provision. I get set free from needing to find in men. Therefore, this is the last verse. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. I love that. But right now, you got stuff to deal with. And if you're worrying about tomorrow, you're not dealing with today. Deal with the stuff in front of you. I'm right there with you, God says. And when you get to tomorrow, I'm already there. So we asked last week, who or what can God use? In fact, for the past 2 weeks, who or what can God use? God can use your employer. He can. He can use your job to meet your needs. But God is your source. And he can just as easily use another employer. God can give you shelter. And if you lose that shelter, God can give you a new shelter. If you're in the church, a lot of people will be willing to help with the shelter thing. We don't give a lot of money. In fact, we don't have it to give right now. But we can reach out and help, and we're glad to do it. Who or what do I trust most to provide for my needs? That's the question we ask. Am I trusting myself and my bank account and my 401k and the stock market? And do I trust my friends? I need their approval. I need their likes. Do I trust my job? God is your supplier. And if you know and trust that, it sets you free from overwhelming worry and anxiety, and God would have you be free. Here's how I know God's your provider. This is where we close. Jesus on the cross provided the way for you to be with God, to have a relationship. It was cut because of sin, because of disobedience, because you and I didn't follow God. He provided. He didn't say, come and do your best and I'll accept you. He said, I'm going to provide because you can't do your best and you won't. I will provide by my blood that you may know me and walk with me. God is your provider. One of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. It means the God who provides. If he's your provider and you really believe that, why the frig are you worrying? He's got you. He's got you. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Holy Father, I pray that you would set us free from worry and anxiety. I pray right now, Lord, that for those of us who don't know Jesus, we'd place our faith in him and say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Forgive my sin. Set it right so I have a relationship with the Father. Make me new. I repent. I turn from sin. I turn toward you. If that's you right now, would you do that? Just tell him. It doesn't matter what word you use. Turn to him. What do you have to lose? You got everything to gain. If you're overcome with worry and anxiety about this situation or others, would you place us at the feet of Jesus right now? Just say, Jesus, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm struggling. I'm going to trust you. Set me free. Father, thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. This is weird to me. It's getting weirder as the weeks go on. I'm preaching to empty chairs, and not a single one of them smiling back. But I love you, and I miss you. And I look forward to us being together once again. God bless you. Thanks for watching.